comes from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to Mark chapter 3, verse 6. But don't worry, it's not that long. So it's Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to Mark chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. And God bless to us that reading from his word. This will be news to one person in the room, but there used to be a time when nothing happened on a Sunday. The shops weren't open. Well, news agents might have been. You could buy a paper, but you couldn't buy a Bible. And that was about it. And they shut by lunchtime. Everything was shut by lunchtime. And you had to be under a certain square footage to be allowed to be open. The big shops weren't open. And Sunday was just a blessing of a day, because you didn't have to do anything. And everything was shut, so that was okay. You didn't even feel the pressure to go shopping. So, Fran, that's what the world used to be like. Okay? I remember walking to church on a Sunday morning and walking through the precinct in Waterlooville and just having the one news agent open. And by the time we walked back from church, everything was shut. Oh, it was heavenly in a lot of ways. I think that was a bit of a problem, though. And I'm going to try and explore this, because I think the idea of Sabbath, I want to try and back up what Jesus says, is that God, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And part of our issue, as much as I would like us to go back to having one day a week where stuff isn't open, part of our issue was that we got ourselves, and those of you who were around in the 80s when this was happening, got ourselves into a little mess of keep Sunday special. And great, really great idea. But why Sunday? We almost moved into the position of the Pharisees of, it's this day and nothing else, because there's really something really special about this day. Doesn't really matter. Plus, the Sabbath is a Saturday. If you're going to go, I had this discussion with Hannah the other day about, she told me that Monday was the first day of the week, and I said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. And she said, no, Dad, it's Monday. And I said, no, darling, it's Sunday. And I said, what is Sunday? She said, it's the weekend. And I said, right. There are two ends to a line. Saturday is one end, Sunday is the other end. Sunday is the first day of the week. Saturday is the last day of the week, so stop moaning. She still doesn't agree with me, but I'm right. It's all we need to know. Okay. But what is special about those days? And we hadn't done what it suggested to do in Deuteronomy. There were cartoons in the 1800s, one in particular that I'll always remember from doing my church history, of Sir Doubleface. I love Sir Doubleface. What a great character in a cartoon he is. We can guess whether he's right or wrong. And you've got Sir Doubleface having a go at the man who's delivered his paper for working on the Sabbath. And the cartoon underneath it is all of the staff below stairs, all crammed into the kitchen. There's the cook, there's the housemaid, there's the butler, there's the footman, there's all of these different people. And underneath it says, it's really hard work making sure that the master can keep the Sabbath. What's the point of a Sabbath? And I have to confess, I'm not really good. Now, there's this thing that goes around, and Derek might have heard this. Are you keeping a Sabbath? Are you keeping a Sabbath? And I just want to cry at that point. I want to cry out, I don't know. I don't know whether I'm keeping a Sabbath. Do I think the idea of a Sabbath is a really good idea? Yes. Do I think it should involve me doing absolutely nothing for the entire day? No. And do I think that it's a day for me? No. You see, that's the other problem that we've got with this idea of a Sabbath. When we say it in ministerial circles, it's please make sure you take your day off. Okay? And your day off is for you to go and do what you want to do. But that is not what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath is to glorify God. If you look at the Deuteronomy passage, and I think this is so important, you look at the Deuteronomy passage, it's explained why the Sabbath is important. And that is, you were set free. I am your God. I will provide everything for you. You don't have to work one day a week. Because I'll provide for you. It will be an opportunity for people to see the abundance of the supply of God. Other nations looking around, kind of peering over the nation fence, going, well, it's not doing anything. They're not out in the fields. They're kind of like, they're all going to this weird synagogue place and learning, and no one's cleaning anything. And what? Because every other nation is working for 7 days. They're working their guts out. Because you got paid daily. You got your bread daily. You know, when Jesus prays in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, that was a lived reality for the ancient world. It was daily bread. You didn't have store loads. You couldn't go to your store cupboard or your fridge and open it up and go, oh, what should I have this today? It was, what have I got to buy my food for today? But imagine that. A day off. Not just bank holidays. I was talking to an American recently, and they couldn't understand the concept of why we have so many days off in this country. That we don't have many days off, it's just because we run the world, it's perfectly fine. They couldn't understand it. Well, you have so many days off. Well, yeah. But God's going, have one off every week? Okay, there's something wrong with ministerial. I'm not hoping to change anything, by the way. But there's something wrong with the ministerial terms of settlement. My terms of settlement are that I work 6 days and I have one day off. When do I have a Sabbath? When do I have a day where I can learn, when I can go and give glory to God and show that I don't have to work on that point? I think that's fascinating. So Jesus says, we have this situation in the Bible where the disciples are walking along, picking some corn grains, and they're grinding it in their hands so they can nibble on grain. Clearly, all of the disciples were hamsters. But they've decided that that's what they're going to do. But, of course, this is absolutely legal on any other day of the week. As long as they don't put a sickle to it, they're absolutely fine. They can pick as much as they want because it's allowed. But they are spotted by the Pharisees. They're doing something wrong. This isn't good. Tell them off. Tell them off, Jesus, because you're their leader and this is your chance to show that you're a proper Jew. And Jesus says, well, hang on a minute. You know, David, when he needed something to eat, went into the temple and took the bread of the presence from the temple. It's only reserved for priests, but he gave it to everyone because, do you know what? People needed to eat. Now, not that I mean, this isn't the starvation diet or anything like that. We're not going to fast one day. But it's about, actually, if someone needs to eat, are you going to feed them? Someone needs to eat on a Sunday. Are you going to feed them? You weren't expecting them. What do you do? Do you feed them or do you leave them? Say, sorry, it's my Sabbath. I can't possibly do anything. Or do you feed them? My wife is a nurse. And one of her... She had an interesting relationship with church for quite a while. When she decided she was going to become a nurse, the minister of our church decided to berate her, which is always good, considering she was only 18 at the time, helpful, and said to her, well, okay, I suppose it's all right for you to become a nurse. These were his exact words. I suppose it's all right for you to become a nurse, but I expect you not to be working on Sunday. Now, Rachel has never been backward in coming forward. She's got better, actually. She's more tactful than she used to be. But she said to him, what are we supposed to do? Send them all home on a Saturday night? These people that are in hospital need looking after because they're sick. Well, I'm telling you, this is when he began to become entrenched, I'm telling you that you should not be working on a Sunday. She said, fine, I'll do it voluntarily then. And stormed off. And I hate to say it, but it is going to be taped. Rachel was right. I don't say those words very often, only in self-defense. But Rachel was right. In that job, at that point, what's more important, looking after the person or going to church? And does that make what we're doing with the Sabbath just a set of religious observances? And are we moving towards an idea of works rather than grace? Oh, I've attended church. This is what I do. On my Sunday, I go to church, I do this, I do that. That's fantastic, good for you. For whose benefit? Because you see, there's a reason these passages are carried on. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue. Even though they're split by a chapter, the thought is continuing. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. I mean, seriously, how ridiculous is this situation? Oh, he might make someone better. This miracle happens in front of them, and they're moaning about whether it's right or wrong or not. Just what? Anyway, well, let's see if he does it. So he looks at the man with the shriveled hand. And he says, everyone, stand up. I want you to look at this man. This man's got a shriveled hand. We don't know anything about this man. We don't know how he got a shriveled hand. But we do know that actually it's going to make it really difficult for him to work. It could be he's had an accident at work. But whatever it is, it's really difficult now. And so he says, just look, so let me ask you a question then. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? Well, no one in their right mind is going to say it's lawful to do evil. So Jesus has got them on the horns of a dilemma, hasn't he, really? And is it right to save life or to kill? But because they don't want to lose face, they're deadly silent. So Jesus looks around them and listen to the word it uses to describe it. He looked around them in anger. And deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Think about that. Jesus got angry with the stubbornness of the religiosity of it all. You don't want to be wrong. You would prefer to see someone suffer so that you look good. You would prefer to hold people away from God's blessing rather than just give God's blessing. Is the Sabbath a blessing? Yeah, it's a day off. The Sabbath is God's blessing, and you're going to withhold other people from having that? There were laws, and this is part of the problem, is they put laws and laws and laws, hedges around the law, hadn't they? And so you couldn't break the law. And it was almost impossible to turn up to synagogue unless you had basically very rich, almost. You had to have done all of your... every ritual rite, you couldn't have sat on a three-legged stool, you couldn't have, carries on and on and on. There were so many different things. And if you were unclean, you had to go and be purified, and it might mean that you missed the Sabbath, and you might not be able to attend synagogue because you make everyone else unclean, and you might have been engaged with, so when Jesus encounters the men with leprosy, Jesus becomes unclean. He then has to go through a purification ritual as far as everyone else is concerned. There's so much just stopping people getting to the blessing of God. And so Jesus is angry. There's only a couple of times we see Jesus angry in the Bible, but every single time we do see Jesus angry in the Bible, it's because people are being stopped from coming to God. The other time we see Jesus angry in the Bible, clearing the temple and the children. Clearing the temple and stopping children coming. He is angry. It's not good enough. How dare you stop people receiving the blessing of God? The reason he clears the temple is because it's in the court of the Gentiles. Anyone can go in there. He clears it. And he says, this is where people can come and encounter God's grace and God's love, and you're stopping them. Oh, I bet he didn't say all. But he's so angry about it. The other time he's angry is when the stoning of Stephen, and you see Stephen's vision at the end, and we see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, not sat at the right hand of the Father, standing ready to get up, go and do something about it. He's cross. And I don't think I'd want to encounter Jesus cross. And we need to understand that Jesus is fully human and fully God. And so it's okay for him to be angry. We paint this picture of Jesus as gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and he's my best friend and all that. No, he's angry. Imagine healing someone in anger. But that's essentially what happens here. Fine, I'm so cross with you, I'll show you. Here's this man. He's going to be used. He's going to receive God's blessing. What is the point of sacred things? What is the point of having something that is sacred? What, sorry? It's set apart. But set apart to do what? It's set apart to do God's will. It's set apart to bless people. Things are only sacred because they're set apart to do something positive. As a minister, allegedly, I am set apart by my ordination in order to feed my flock. You are my flock. I've got some haylage out the back for your... Yeah. to feed my flock and to preach the good news to the world out there. The reason I have a stipend and not a wage is so that I can be set apart to not have to earn a wage, so that I can devote myself to the word of God and to the service of his people. See it? Can you imagine a minister who sat in their office every day, never encountered anybody else? On a Sunday, they would stand up, they would give you the benefit of their week's worth of study, and then they'd walk out the back door and go home. Would you be happy with that minister? If so, I can make that happen. But would you be, would you be happy with that minister? He never even asks how you are. He doesn't even stand at the door to say, thank you for coming. I'm pleased you enjoyed your sleep. And all of those different things. That's not what we want, is it? We want a minister who is set apart in order to bless. That's why we have them. And here's where it gets even bigger. The church is set apart in order to bless, in order that people might see how God is moving and God is blessing. And in order that we might take that blessing to people. On Saturday, we're going to be stood in the football field. Hopefully the sun will be out and it won't be pouring with rain, but we do have a tent because we are special and set apart. We'll be so set apart, we'll be in a different field. But but that's an opportunity for us to bless the community. Yeah, we get to tell people about what we do and, you know, hopefully we'll get an influx of people and we won't be able to move. But we'll be able to tell people about what we do. Great. But the point is, we can bless people. We can have conversations with people. We can make people ask that question of, why? What is it about these weirdo Baptists? Why are these Christians doing what they're doing? What is going on with that? And then have the opportunity to answer it. But we've got to... We use ourselves as that sacred thing, set apart for God's glory. The same thing will happen with the penny fair. The same thing happens with the walkthrough. The same thing happens on, you know, it's fantastic. On the other thing that's happening on Saturday is the barbecue. We've been doing this barbecue 3 years now, isn't it, Avon, I think? Is it 3 years we've been doing the barbecue now? Something like that. It's amazing. Most of the people that come aren't Christians. They work with CAP, which is Christians Against Poverty, and they're brought down on a great big shindig, to be honest. They go and play in the forest for a bit, and then they come here and we give them a barbecue. All and any come. There's about 60 people, because it's a 60-seater coach, and they hear they have a testimony. James Blois Smith does that. His father used to be minister here, way back. In fact, he was born here, not in the church. That would be odd, wouldn't it? But just after the war. Anyway. But actually, the comments that we get from serving. Why are you doing this? You don't have to do this. Why are you doing this? Why are you putting yourself out for us? And you know what's really lovely? Is that it works both ways. When I told Hannah and Naomi that they were coming again, they said, well, that's right, we'll clear the diary. The fact my girls will clear the diary for anything is pretty good. But the fact that they're going to clear it for that is because they enjoy serving so much. They come and stand in the kitchen and they cut up rolls and they make sure that everything is available and they keep Avon refreshed with drinks and make sure he's got all of his meat and everything else that he needs. But they serve. And they feel free. So perhaps, and I have to couch this, but I don't want to end up saying that the Sabbath isn't worth it, because it really is. But perhaps the Sabbath is about freedom and not about ritual. Perhaps we have a Sabbath every time we serve. Every time that we're set apart in order to do what God wants us to do, and that we do those things, maybe that is actually our Sabbath. You see, the purpose of the Sabbath is that we might show that we are free to those around us. Well, in that case, the Sabbath is every day. Because we can show that we're free to those around us every day. If our service in Christ is a chore and we need a break from it, I would perhaps suggest it's not being done with the right heart. Oh, I've got to go and do this again. We'll stop then. Oh, that's a load of resignations, isn't it? But if your service to God is a chore and you need a day off, well, that's more to do with you than it is to do with what God's put the Sabbath there for. Our challenge is to proclaim Christ and him crucified to the world around us, and proclaim him resurrected, and that gives us freedom. So when I'm standing in St. Michael's tomorrow morning, at 7:30, dealing with a child crying on me, that service. And when those parents say, why are you doing this and why do you do this? Because we originally wanted to do it for free, but they've insisted that we charge £4 per thing, because no one ever does anything for free in this village. So they insisted that we charge £4 and we just claim back expenses and the rest of the money goes to the school. So then the school are asking, but why do you do this? And on Thursday, when we're doing our blessing breakfast and we're feeding the children, the parents and the teachers, we've had some fantastic conversations where parents have come up and said, why? Why are you doing this? Why would you do this? And you're doing it for free? Yeah, we just want to bless you. We just want you to think breakfast is a good idea. Come and have some with your children. Do you know, one of the first time we did the breakfast at the school, as in the one where we fed everybody, one of the teachers came out of there and she'd sat with some of the children from her class and she'd eaten breakfast with them. And she came up to me and she said, thank you. And I went, that's okay, anytime. Did you enjoy your Cocoa Pops? And she said, that's not what I mean. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to sit with my children. I said, oh. And she carried on. And she said, I've learnt more about my children in the last 20 minutes eating with them than I have in the last 5 months. Then she carried on. Thank you for giving me the freedom to do it. Freedom makes a difference to us. To not be constrained to what we're told to do every single day of the week. To actually have freedom. And we can have freedom in all of our life, in all of our job, in everything. And that means that Sabbath is something that happens daily. It's not something, and it's good to set aside some time, and I get that. And it's good to have a day off and all that. But that's not really what's going on here. It's about taking the sacred and making it, using it to bless, so that the people might grow and be encouraged. The final verse does give us a bit of a rejoinder, though. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. When we preach freedom, there'll always be someone trying to preach captivity. In stark contrast to what Jesus is offering, we have the Pharisees getting into bed with the Herodians, and these two guys didn't really like each other, or two sets of people didn't really like each other, and they're prepared to work out how they might kill Jesus. Not just shut him up, not put him in cancel culture, not delete his Twitter account, or sorry, X account. It was, we're going to kill him. Because how dare he threaten our power? By offering freedom that only comes through God. All the way through, the gospel message is freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from death. Freedom to love, live, and serve the Lord.